This is LA's home for the Dodgers.
Somehow makes the play.
And you're listening to Off-Season Dodger Talk.
He bobbles it, falls face first, somehow picks it up, throws behind his back with his face in the dirt, throw to first base to Gonzalez and makes the play.
Call 866-987-2570 and talk to your host, David Massé.
Welcome to Nissan Dodger Talk. Just got a good scouting report from Tim Cates on the bar scene here in Burbank, so I appreciate that, Tim. Happy birthday to our man, Victor Brick Jacobs. Want to celebrate his birthday tonight with some Thai food. He says he's bringing home to the family. So the simple things, I guess, in life you appreciate more under different circumstances. So happy birthday to the one and only Victor Brick Jacobs. You can send him your birthday tweets. You know where to find him. I believe his Twitter handle is Vic Feeling You. So happy birthday, Vic, and glad that you joined us tonight for off-season Dodger Talk. The winter meetings are well underway in Orlando, and we'll check in with Andy McCullough from the LA Times in Orlando to hear the latest from what the Dodgers are thinking, what they're formulating. I said before all of this started, the Dodgers were not going to make a huge splash this winter meetings, and really, if you look at their track record, it gave you an indication of why I felt that way. Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi's very first winter meetings in charge of the Dodgers is when they made their big splash. They had a short amount of time to construct the roster they wanted, and they had to do it quickly, and they did in one swoop at that winter meetings a few years ago in San Diego. But this is a different time, a different situation. They did the heavy lifting, as they said, a year ago. They re-signed Justin Turner for four more years. They gave Kenley Jansen a five-year contract, and they brought back Rich Hill and Chase Utley. So they did the heavy lifting last year, and it got them to the World Series for the first time in 29 years. Now they have to fill in the margins. And when you have a team as good as the Dodgers, not only getting to the World Series, but I think everybody forgets that they did win 104 games in the regular season, the most in L.A. Dodger history. So when you're bringing back the majority of those players, you just have to fill in some of the guys you're losing to free agency. And in particular, you're losing two really good relief pitchers. You're losing Brandon Morrow to the Cubs, and Tony Watson is more than likely going to get a very lucrative contract from another team. So the Dodgers have to retool their bullpen to make it as good as it was a year ago. And let's not forget, too, the bullpen that we saw in the postseason was not the bullpen we saw on opening day, not by a long shot. The two Tony, Cingrani, and Watson were added at the non-waiver trade deadline. Brandon Morrow was given a minor league contract with an invite to big league camp. He got his first taste of Dodger baseball in, I believe it was May this year. So the bullpen you saw constructed at the end of the year was not the one they started with. And there's not too many teams in the history of the game recently that have been able to use the same seven relief pitchers from day one until the end of the season, getting into the postseason. So the Dodgers are accumulating depth, and that's where that area of baseball needs depth more than any other area of the team. You need bullpen depth. And the Dodgers are very confident that Yimi Garcia, who's coming off Tommy John surgery, is going to play a big role in that bullpen next year. Tony Cingrani is still under contract. The Dodgers found a way to make him better when he came over from the Reds. I know their information really helped him see that you don't have to use your fastball for every hitter. Use your slider. He used his slider 30% more when he got to the Dodgers, and you saw the difference between who he was with the Reds and who he ended up being with the Dodgers. So it's not a bare cupboard, but certainly you're missing two big tools in that bullpen that you used in the playoffs. Not to mention, too, Kenta Maeda is going back to the starting rotation. We all know how good he was for the Dodgers in the bullpen during the postseason. So that is the main area of concern for Andrew Friedman. He said as much yesterday in Orlando. Farhan Zaidi gave us a little peek in the direction that the Dodgers are looking to fill those spots, similar to what they did in the previous couple of years. They're not looking to sign the big free agent relief pitcher. In this year's case, it's Brian Shaw from the Cleveland Indians. he is going to the Colorado Rockies. It's not Wade Davis. He's going to be a closer somewhere. What Farhan Zaidi told reporters today in Orlando is they're looking to go on the value side of things more so than the top end side of relief pitching, which basically eliminates Zach Britton, who is going to make a somewhere between $12 and $14 million this year for the Baltimore Orioles. You remember his name. It was discussed at length by the Dodgers and a couple of other teams at the non-waiver trade deadline. The biggest problem dealing with the Orioles is their owner, Peter Angelos. He's a very difficult man to work for, and Dan Duquette, their GM, has to run things by him before any deal is consummated for any player. Usually, owners get involved when you're talking about marquee players. Yes, Zach Britton's a very good relief pitcher, but he's not on the level of a Manny Machado, or if you're talking about the Dodgers, Clayton Kershaw. The Dodgers were talking about a deal for any one of those marquee players. Yes, ownership has to get involved. But with the Orioles, every player has to be run up the Peter Angelos flagpole, and he makes things complicated. So when you're in the offseason, there's a lot more time to try to get him to buy into what the two GMs are trying to work on. But if the Orioles do not trade Manny Machado this offseason, it's a signal they're going to try to start the season with their players and try to compete. You look at Manny Machado, you look at Adam Jones, you look at Zach Britton of the Baltimore Orioles. All three of those major players for them are free agents at the end of 2018, which goes back to what we talked about last week and what I mentioned, that next year's free agent class is elite and maybe the deepest class of free agent players that are elite players in my memory. I don't think there's ever been a class to hit the free agent market that could end up hitting the market a year from now. We're talking about guys like Brian Dozier, Andrew Miller, Zach Britton, Adam Jones, Manny Machado, Charlie Blackmon, Bryce Harper. Can I say his name again? Bryce Harper. That's the guy I would love to see in Dodger Blue a year from now if the price is right. And I think the Dodgers are definitely trying to set themselves up to be players, maybe not so much for Harper, but maybe for other guys. And let's not forget, too, Clayton Kershaw can opt out of his contract at the end of this year. So that's where the Dodgers are right now, and that's what they're looking for. Now, the one thing the Dodgers did say today, Farhan Zaidi, their GM, and Andrew Friedman yesterday, is they are more likely in the next couple of weeks to fill some of these spots via trade, not free agency. Now, a couple of guys I've mentioned that the Dodgers may be interested in to fill some of their pitching holes and maybe right-handed offense holes in the outfield are Chris Archer of the Tampa Bay Rays and Andrew McCutchen of the Pittsburgh Pirates, who a lot of teams are checking in on because he is a free agent at the end of the year. And he had a bounce-back year last year, 30-plus home runs for the Pirates superstar, who is not going to be re-signed by the Pirates. They were even close to trading him a couple of times last year. Now, Chris Archer is a very interesting pitcher. He's an elite pitcher, an elite arm, who's under control for a team, whether it's the Rays or somebody they trade him to, until 2020 or 2021. $10 million a year on average. That's a bargain for a guy that has as live of an arm as he does and has pitched 200 innings in each of the last 2 years and struck out 200 hitters last year in 200-plus innings. That sounds like a right-handed power arm any team would love to have, and who knows him better than Andrew Friedman? So if the Rays are selling, the Dodgers may revisit the conversations they had with the Rays back in 2016 for Chris Archer, and this time the Rays may be more willing to listen. A good indication on whether or not the Rays will sell off is if they trade their superstar from Long Beach State, Evan Longoria. From what I've been told, the Angels and Rays have had discussions about Longoria. The Angels are looking for a third baseman and not necessarily Mike Moustakas from Chatsworth High. The talks between the Angels and Rays are in for Evan Longoria, and if the Rays trade the face of their franchise of the last 10-plus years, they're selling off, and Chris Archer may be had. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we continue here on Nissan Dodger Talk, we will check in with Andy McCullough from Orlando at the winter meetings. Plus, later on in the show, I had a conversation with Adrian Gonzalez. He checked in with me today from Italy to bust my chops that his Chargers are ahead of my Raiders in the standings now. Plus, we got into what the future might hold for Adrian Gonzalez and Dodger Blue. So I'll fill you in on that a little bit later after Andy McCullough, who is next on Offseason Dodger Talk right here on AM 570 LA Sports. Little Otis Redding on this beautiful Tuesday night as everybody gets set for Christmas. David Vasse with you until 7 o'clock tonight here on Offseason Dodger Talk. And a man that is in the Christmas spirit is our one and only Victor Brick Jacobs. Happy birthday, Vic. And another man that is in the Christmas spirit out there in Orlando, a Disney Christmas for the LA Times, Andy McCullough, who is, I'm sure, enjoying some of that character dining at that Disney hotel where the winter meetings are taking place in Orlando. Andy, so who did you have dinner with tonight? Pluto, Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse? Which one?
Oh, it was Huey, Dewey, and Louie, actually.
Oh, I love them. There. Donald's nephews?
Sure, yeah, the whole family. It was a big, we did a family style. We went to Il Molino, you know, got the pasta. It was delightful.
Oh, that's beautiful, Andy. So
yeah.
The winter meetings have been eventful for other teams, but not for the Dodgers. And I guess the first question for you, Andy, is you always hear about the NBA, big free agency class, and teams trying to save cap space for the big free agency in the NBA. Do you feel like the Dodgers are doing that for luxury tax reasons and also, too, maybe to be ready for next year's free agent class?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's multifold. It all sort of ties in together because, obviously, they spent more than anyone last winter, and I think that was with the idea that, you know, they wanted to get the core in place so that maybe they wouldn't have to spend too much this winter so they could be in preparation for next winter. So, you know, there is some forward thinking, some planning, you know, that makes sense. But, yeah, I mean, the luxury tax is a real thing. Their luxury tax number is estimated to be at 205 right now, which is $8 million over what the threshold is, the 197. If they go over two, you know, so they have to pay 50 cents on the dollar for every dollar they're over the tax. If they go over 217, it becomes more expensive. If they go over 237, it becomes even more expensive, and it starts to become punitive. They start, like, losing draft picks and stuff. So it's a real concern. And honestly, I mean, you look at this free agent class. I mean, what, you know, who on this market, at least as a free agent, is someone who you think the Dodgers really need? And I think that is the question they're asking themselves. They're obviously kicking around a lot of different scenarios. It sounds like trades are a lot more viable than, you know, free agents. But in terms of just adding salary, you know, there's not a lot of guys who they need that they would really want to jump out on, as you've seen thus far.
As far as the trade market goes, Andy, we know the Marlins are not done selling off. What have you heard about the Dodgers checking in with them about Marcell Ozuna or Christian Yelich?
Yeah, I mean, they've obviously engaged them about both those players. I think, again, it comes down to whether or not, I mean, do the Dodgers have the horses to make that happen in terms of prospects? Absolutely. But do they have the desperation that other teams might have that might cause them to overpay? And I think, you know, the Marlins have taken a ton of heat, you know, here already this winter with the way they're sort of just trying to get rid of salary. With Yelich and Ozuna, you know, it can't be a salary dump. They need to get real talent back. And so they need to kind of hold out for the best prospects possible. And because there's so little, you know, financial relief coming with those two guys, they kind of, you know, unless they're like totally incompetent, they're not just going to give those guys away. I choose to believe they're not totally incompetent. I guess we'll see. You know, Derek Jeter's range was always a bit of an issue. You know, we'll see. I mean, the Dodgers are in on those guys. Ozuna, you know, especially would be a really, really nice fit in left field. Great young player, not too expensive, you know, a couple more years of control. But, you know, I'm sure the conversation starts, hey, we'd like Marcell Ozuna. Okay, we would like Walker Buehler. You know what I mean? And so it's always a negotiation, and it's always, you know, Dodgers have shown they love their prospects. They believe in their prospects. And, you know, it's hard to get to a deal.
Andy McCullough from the LA Times is our guest. You can follow him all season long at McCullough Times on Twitter. And Andy, I guess the question for you is, where are the Dodgers at with center field? Who do they believe is their center fielder if it's not to pursue a guy like Christian Yelich, who is a dynamic player? And, you know, you want to talk about bringing home players. He's from Westlake Village, too. He's one of those guys that grew up as a Dodger fan.
Yeah, I mean, sure, that would be great. But is he a better player than the Chris Taylor we saw in 2017? I mean, you know, I think his track record is obviously a little more established. But, yeah, they're pretty in on Chris Taylor, as you know. I mean, you know, they believe that what he did last year was real. And while there may be some regression, you know, he's a pretty good player. So I don't think they're looking at it as we need a center fielder. It's more like if we can get, you know, especially a right-handed stick in the middle of this lineup, it would make a lot of sense. But I don't really see the combination of Taylor and still, you know, hoping on Jock Peterson's upside, I think prevents them from being too desperate in that market.
As far as the outfield goes, also a right-handed stick that, you know, the Dodgers did seriously consider a year ago at this time was Andrew McCutchen. Do they revisit those talks with the Pirates, and how realistic is it to believe that he might be on their radar?
So again, it comes up, the luxury tax stuff comes up, right? I mean, he's making $14 million a year, I believe, for next season. So that's not a ton of money, especially with the Dodgers. But when you're in the sort of precarious luxury tax position, you know, they're going to probably, I don't know if they're crazy about taking on, you know, $14 million, without giving, you know, of getting back. So obviously, you know, they've been trying to bundle Scott Kazmir and Brandon McCarthy's contracts for a while. They've been doing that for more than this offseason. It obviously hasn't worked. You know, so if they could find a way to get Pittsburgh to take back, you know, theoretically McCarthy plus some prospects, maybe that would make some sense. But the Pirates are not exactly a financial behemoth, and there's no way they want to take back money for the Dodgers unless the Dodgers are sweetening it with their top prospects. You know what I mean? So it becomes complicated in that, like, it would take more than the necessary prospect value to get back McCutchen in order to not give up the money.
Andy, I'm rapid firing you some names here, but a guy that the Dodgers also kicked around back in 2016, but the price was too high back then, is Chris Archer. Have you got confirmation that the Rays are indeed selling off, and is he a guy that they're selling, and are the Dodgers engaging the Rays for Chris Archer?
Yeah, I mean, again, the Dodgers are engaged with everyone. Like, let's, you know, the level of severity or seriousness is always kind of in question and can be hard to discern until things become really serious. I don't believe there's anything serious as of right now. Archer would make some sense, but the Dodgers have said they do not feel like they need to get starting pitching. You know, you've seen it, how they can kind of MacGyver their way through the season with a kind of a, you know, with the back end of that rotation. I think maybe in the second half of the season, you know, as you start to get close to the playoffs, you start thinking, okay, who's going to be the right-handed starter in this group? And that's when, you know, maybe a trade becomes more pressing. But as of right now, I mean, they don't really need pitching, and it's going to take a ton to get Chris Archer. So why would they give up assets for something that's a luxury who, you know, Chris Archer's a good pitcher, but he's not as good as Yu Darvish, you know? So why would they put up, you know, sacrifice significant assets for a player like that? I don't know. It makes some sense, but it's just hard right now, man. I mean, they don't seem like they're really close on anything. I mean, they don't seem like they're really close. Or, I mean, they're active, but it's all kind of spinning their wheels right now.
Andy McCullough from the LA Times is our guest. He is live in Orlando at baseball's winter meetings. Andy, before I let you go, the bullpen seems to be the area that the Dodgers are focusing on. And before the non-waiver trade deadline, we know they had conversations with the Baltimore Orioles for Zach Britton. He has a high price tag for one more year before he hits free agency. Do you think those talks get rekindled? And is his price tag at the beginning of the season an issue for that luxury tax as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. You know, the price is an issue. They have talks, obviously, about Britton. They like Britton. He would be a very good reliever for them. But the price is an issue. The health is an issue. The fact that Peter Angelos makes making trades very difficult on his baseball operations department is an issue. So, you know, that would be a bit of an upset, I think, they could pull that one off. I think it would be a bit of an upset if Britton got traded at all.
All right, Andy. Thanks a lot for the information. It seems like I made the right decision in staying back.
Yeah, it seems like Dodgers fans are only going to get a lump of coal under the tree this year at Christmas time.
Which isn't, I mean, they have good players. I mean, you're making.
Yeah, I've made this point a lot. Like, you know, the difference between them and the Astros, right, is like really small. Both, you know, good, well-run organizations with a lot of young talent who seem set up for, you know, a long period of success, right? And the Astros could do nothing this offseason, and everyone would say, hey, great offseason. If the Dodgers do nothing, they'd be like, why didn't you get us over the top? It's, you know, they are confident in their process. You know, they don't spend big on relievers not named Kenley Jansen. They don't give out, you know, nine-figure contracts to pretty much anyone except for, you know, I mean, pretty much anyone. Yeah, the biggest contract they've given out was to Jansen. So they believe in their process, I think, more than any individual talent, especially in this market. Now, it will be very interesting to see how that process, you know, comes up against when Clayton Kershaw becomes a free agent next year. But, David, that appears to be a conversation for another day.
All right, I'll let you get back to dinner with Huey, Dewey, and Louie. And we'll save more questions for you till you come back. But I do disagree with you, Andy. I think the Dodgers do need another right-handed starter. And, yes, Yu Darvish has unique stuff, but I think Chris Archer is the guy to get.
I mean, he's good. You know, he'd make them better, but, you know, it's going to take a lot. And for I don't know. I mean, I just it's not a need. You know,
it was a need in the middle of last year, and so much a need that they traded for Yu Darvish, and I think they're in the same spot this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a need right now, though, and these are guys who very rarely do things unless they need to do them.
I hear you.
It's not, you know what I mean? Like, they always talk about the optionality, you know, patience. Like, if Chris Archer doesn't get dealt, they will be back in on him, you know, at the trade deadline.
Right.
And probably Chris Archer won't get dealt. So there's no reason to jump out on it now unless the deal really makes sense. And, you know, considering that, you know, Friedman will be dealing with, you know, his former employees in a lot of ways, that's kind of a tough trade to make. So, I get it. He would make them better. I don't see the necessity for doing it just yet.
All right, Andy. Thanks a lot for the time. Appreciate it, and can't wait to see you when you come back home.
David, you don't need to lie to me.
It's better to do it over the phone, Andy.
Great point. Yeah, let's only talk like this from now on.
Okay, sounds good. Right, thanks a lot for coming on. There he is, Andy McCullough from the LA Times. You could follow him at McCullough Times. I disagree. You know, you could brush off Chris Archer as a raw talent. He's really good. There's not too many right-handed starters that throw as hard as he does and pitch 200 innings and strike out 200 hitters. I know in this new age of baseball thinking, you don't put that much emphasis on starting pitching, but I still believe there's a reason why some pitchers are starters and some guys are relievers. The reason why some guys are relievers is because they weren't good enough to be starting pitchers, and you can't ride your bullpen into the ground throughout the regular season, and even when you get into the postseason, you got to have horses. And the Dodgers had the horses last year, and Yu Darvish was a difference maker for the Dodgers the second half of the year. So we'll see how it plays out. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. When we come back, your phone calls, plus I'll fill you in on what the Dodgers' future is with Adrian Gonzalez. Is he in? Is he out? I'll let you know next on AM570 LA Sports.
This is the home of the Dodgers.
Call us, tweet us, tag us. It's 866-987-2570 or hashtag Dodger Talk.
This is off-season Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 7 o'clock tonight right here on AM570 LA Sports. We mentioned last week, and you can't forget them this week. The fires are still going on in Los Angeles County and San Diego County, so our prayers and thoughts are with all the families and friends that have been displaced and affected by the fires, and of course, the brave firefighters that are trying to save everybody's homes and lives out there. So our well wishes to everybody out there, and I know the iHeartMedia family will be doing a big fundraiser for the firefighters and families of the fires tomorrow throughout the day on AM570 LA Sports and AM640 and all over the iHeartMedia family. So we're doing our part. Hopefully you're doing your part, too, to support everybody. And when times like this happen, I know all these communities come together and pitch in and help each other out. So stay strong out there, and our prayers and thoughts are with you, and hopefully we'll be able to pull something off for all the families and firefighters that are out there to help in some way. Sometimes you feel helpless, and even just I know families in my neighborhood have been bringing food and water to different fire stations and the firefighters on the front line, Even something like that can make a difference. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. You heard what Andy McCullough said. It's basically been quiet out there in Orlando for the Dodgers. They're trying to fill in the role player needs that they have. They have the main prime players. They're trying to fill in around those guys, especially in their bullpen, and they're up against that luxury tax threshold, which they have paid each and every year since 2013, and the penalties are getting more severe, not only financially, but as far as sacrificing draft picks. It's getting nasty with this new CBA, and the players, I don't know why they allowed Tony Clark to do this, because they're basically agreeing to a salary cap. And Donald Fehr and Marvin Miller, trust me, are rolling right now for what the players' union agreed upon, and it's affecting the Dodgers. If the Dodgers did not have to face these penalties, we know they're not afraid to spend, but there's got to be a certain point where you don't sacrifice the betterment of the baseball team moving forward. And Stan Kasten did say this when the Dodgers first bought the team. Phase one was to put money into the team and the stadium, which they have, to make them a winner and make Dodger Stadium up to where 2018 standards should be, which they have done. Phase two is building up that farm system so continually, annually, the Dodgers have talent that they can lean upon year in and year out. And Ned Colletti laid the foundation for all that. And Andrew Friedman obviously has taken them to another level, getting them to the World Series for the first time in 29 years. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to the phones, and then I'll get into part of my conversation with Adrian Gonzalez. Let's go out to Fontana. Richard, you're on with David Vasse on AM570 LA Sports. Hi, Richard.
Hey, David. Hey, thanks, man. You know what? You're just that last, you know, bit you just did right now kind of broke it down. Like, I believe that, you know, Ned Colletti did put his mind in baseball into the farm system. That's why we see it now. And I think we're okay when it comes to hitting. You know, we still have Kike. We still have all these other young guys that are just going to come in. And a lot of people forget that when we went on that little time period, we used a lot of new guys. So we gave them that experience, and that's what, you know, it's great for our guys. So I think we do need pitching, but we're going to get back Julio back soon, Julio Reyes. So I think overall we'll be fine, but, yeah, I think there is one thing missing. We need that one impact, either pitching or hitting, just that one extra guy to kind of make this year, like, at least a little bit more, instead of just being just deadline flat, you know?
All right, Richard. Yeah, well, maybe it's not sexy right now, but you, like GMs tell you and managers tell you, even when they get the big fish, you don't win World Series in the offseason. You don't win them in December. You got to do it on the field. And the Dodgers certainly did it in the winter last year, bringing back Kenley Jansen, Justin Turner, Rich Hill, Chase Utley, and then getting to the World Series. So all those things played a factor in the Dodgers winning, and all those guys are back. We'll see whether or not Utley fits in the Dodgers' plans. But really, he's one of those complimentary guys. And I believe Logan Forsyth not hitting well against right-handed pitching was an outlier. Don't forget, he had foot issues and was injured with the hamstring, and I'm sure that affected some of that. And, you know, with the Rays, he had equal splits, so I don't see him struggling as much against right-handed pitching as much as he did a year ago. Let's go out to Inglewood. Juan's on our Pound Blue line. What's up, Juan?
Hey, David. How's it going?
It's going great, Juan. Thank you.
Hey, I just want to talk about you, Darvish, and tipping pitches.
Oh, yes.
And I understand how it happened. Game one, the Astros players were saying that they knew that he was tipping pitches the first game he pitched. But then game seven, how does the Dodgers management and pitching coach allow that to happen for a second time?
Well, I have the answer for you, Juan. I was aware and told during game seven that the Dodgers were, or it was before game seven, that the Dodgers were aware that the Astros had something as far as Darvish tipping pitchers. They were aware of it after game three, and they did go to the drawing board with him and try to fix some things that would prevent it from happening again. Obviously, it didn't work because that Astros player who did not put his name to the story basically said they saw the same thing. Now, my thing is, Juan, from what players have told me in the past, even when pitchers are tipping, you still have to hit the ball. And obviously the Astros were able to do both, but I think it comes down to something more fundamental. You know, Juan, sometimes certain hitters have really good success against certain pitchers, even some of the great ones, right? Right, Juan?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So I just believe the Astros saw the ball coming out of Yu Darvish's hand really well. And what shows that is how poorly he performed against the Astros when he was pitching for the Rangers during the regular season. They just saw the ball coming out of his hand really well.
Okay, so my second question would be, why not start Alex Wood if he had such a great game with game three or four that he pitched?
All right, my question to you is, were you saying that before game seven?
I was. I really was.
You were? All right, Juan.
Yes.
That would have been my choice. Everybody's saying start Kershaw. Nobody was saying start Kershaw after game five. Alex Wood was the guy who allowed just one hit in seven
right.
and two-thirds innings. That would have been the guy. But really, Juan, I don't see a problem starting with Darvish. I just had a problem with allowing him to go out for that second inning and, more importantly, allowing him to pitch to George Springer in a 3-1 count. Just give him a fourth ball and get him to first base. It's a 2-0 game at that point in time.
Right, I thought they should have started Alex Wood for maybe four innings, and then they could have thrown Kershaw in there for another four, and then Jansen could have just closed it out. But
that's a good formula, Juan. The offense, though, had eight innings to come back from a five-run deficit, and they had their opportunities. Unfortunately, they came up short. Yeah, the whole Yu Darvish thing, I was aware of during the World Series that the Dodgers did feel like the Astros were getting some signs from Yu Darvish. And one thing that I'm surprised about, why would this Astros player anonymously come out and give away insider trade secrets? I'm sure his teammates aren't too thrilled about that. Even if he's not putting his name to it, he was getting really detailed in that quote to Sports Illustrated. So that made no sense to me. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue. For our AT&T subscribers, this is off-season Dodger Talk with you until 7 o'clock tonight, our only show of the week because the station has Clipper basketball and Thursday night football. We'll be back with you next Thursday night at 7 o'clock right here on AM570 LA Sports. And you can hear the latest Dodger info throughout the day on AM570 LA Sports with Fred and Rodney and Petros and Money. And I sprinkle myself in on their shows throughout the day. So even though no Dodger talk until next Thursday, you'll have the latest Dodger information right here on your home for Dodger baseball, AM570 LA Sports. Now, I did have a conversation with Adrian Gonzalez this morning. He contacted me from Italy, where my mom is from. She is from Trieste, which is just north of Venice. But the point of his reach out, number one, was to give me a hard time that his Chargers are now ahead of my Raiders in the standings because I was chirping quite a bit when the season first started. So he wanted to get that point across, number one. Now, number two, he wanted to dispel some of the bad info out there, in his opinion, and he told me that the Dodgers are not trying to trade him actively. He feels like the Dodgers are, well, let me take that back. Adrian feels like there is a lot more baseball left in him. And if he's healthy, he feels he could be as good as he was a year ago. Now, he has been in contact with Andrew Friedman throughout the offseason. They have an open line of communication. In case you don't know, Adrian has a full no-trade clause, similar to what Giancarlo Stanton had. So the Dodgers have to get his approval if they tried to trade him. Now, the one part of the communication the Dodgers have had with Adrian is that if there is room on the roster and he is healthy, he wants to win at-bats for the Dodgers and not just rest on the past. He wants to be the guy that earns at-bats, and he feels that if he is healthy, he can win those at-bats. Now, as far as the Dodgers trading him, the only way the Dodgers would trade Adrian Gonzalez is if there is no room on this roster for him. If they feel like they've improved their roster so much that they don't need Adrian Gonzalez in spring training, then yes, there's a good chance they may try to trade him. Now, the one thing I'm sure the Dodgers wouldn't do is bring Adrian Gonzalez into spring training, let him play for 3 weeks, and if their roster fills up during spring training, just let him go and designate him for assignment. That doesn't seem to be the relationship the Dodgers and Adrian Gonzalez have and have had ever since he got here. So some of the stories out there that are saying that the Dodgers are trying to trade Adrian Gonzalez for salary relief is not true. He is very open with the Dodgers, and the Dodgers have an open communication with him. So they are not just trying to dump his salary for relief. The Dodgers have shown that they'll carry salary whether or not a guy's productive. But if the Dodgers do run out of roster room and Adrian isn't part of their plans, then yes, of course, they're going to explore some trade opportunities, and Adrian has that full no-trade clause. Now, the one thing that benefits the Dodgers in this situation is how versatile Cody Bellinger is and how good he is in the outfield. If Adrian Gonzalez is healthy and the Dodgers believe in him, he's at first base and Cody Bellinger is somewhere in one of those three outfield spots, more likely center or left. It's a good problem to have if you're the Dodgers. And that's something that, as we get closer to spring training, will be resolved. But it's not even Christmas yet, and it's way too early to project whether or not Adrian Gonzalez is going to be on the Dodgers or not going to be on the Dodgers roster, depending on who they're able to acquire and how the pieces to the puzzle fit. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Pasadena. Nick, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vassay. Hi, Nick.
Vassay, man. I've heard you from when you first started all the way to now, man. I'm real proud of you. I think you deserve all the success you
Thanks, Nick. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, man, it's interesting to watch a guy's career on the radio grow like that. Hey, listen, I'm a lifelong Dodger fan. I've also traveled all over the country to sporting events and seen the other baseball stadiums. The Dodger Stadium, before the baseball stadium building boom, was the third oldest stadium. It is the third oldest stadium. I know this is sacrilegious, but, you know, this is coming from a good place. Okay?
Don't say it, Nick.
Dodger Stadium is a dump.
Oh, could you say that, Nick?
It's so easy to say it, okay?
Is this Bill Plaschke or is it Nick from Pasadena? Which one is it?
No, this is Nick from Pasadena. And let me just tell you, okay, the sight lines are so far away from the field, number one, okay? Number two, the concessions have not changed since I've been going to the games in the early 70s.
That's not true. That's not true. For a certain period of time, they had Carl's Jr. and Taco Bell in the early 90s at Dodger Stadium.
And when you compare it to the food at other stadiums where they have restaurant quality food.
Like where? I've been to every stadium in baseball.
Okay, well then,
tell me which food is better. And I go out onto the concourse. Well, you know what? I'm not going to argue over whose food is better. Dodger Stadium is an iconic place and has a lot of history. If you ask me, people ask me all the time, what's my favorite stadium to go to in all of baseball? And you know what? The first one comes out of my mouth, Nick, it's Wrigley Field. It's Fenway Park. That's what baseball's about, the nostalgia, the history. And Dodger Stadium has been improved to a point where it's much better than any of the two places that are older than Dodger Stadium.
Oh, that's nice. You can't compare Dodger Stadium to Wrigley or to Fenway Park.
You're right. It's better.
Those parks have character. This park was made at the same time of that all the stadiums that they knocked down in the last 20 years were made. It's a dinosaur.
I disagree with you, Nick. Thanks for the phone call. That's sad. Before we go, Kevin in L.A., come on. Wipe the taste out of my mouth clean after what that guy just said. Come on, Kevin. Cleanse our palate.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was pretty gnarly, man. Like, I've done the stadium tours, too, and I love Dodger Stadium. I actually don't like Wrigley, but I love Dodger Stadium in Pittsburgh, but...
All right. Thank you, Kevin. That's all I needed. You made me feel better. Call back next week. We'll let you get your trade talk out there. I appreciate that, Kevin. You made me feel better. Wow. That really hurt, man. No appreciation. Anyway, thanks to Ronnie Fascio. Who's our guy back there, Ronnie? Rudy from Ventura, our Dodger Radio Network affiliate. Rudy has joined AM570 LA Sports, so thank you for your help, guys. And the next Dodger Talk will be next Thursday night at 7 o'clock. If you missed any of the show, you could podcast it at AM570LASports.com. Coming up next, the Bruin Insider Show from Westwood. Have a great night, everybody.